I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French-Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, everyone. Buckle up, put your seats in their upright positions, and get your spoons ready for some digital soup.
Yum.
It's your destination for the best and latest in geekdom. My name is Jason, and as always, I'm joined by Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, fellas?
Going well.
I'm a little conflicted. I just finished Game of Thrones, the penultimate episode, you know, season finale next week. And
oh, it is? Okay, I didn't even know that.
This season's flying by, and man, oh man. Another great episode, but a little bit like
the season finale is next week already.
Yeah, what is it, like 7 episodes this week?
That's short.
7 episodes this year. Yeah.
Well, hey, Dave just watched the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
And actually, a few days ago, I want everybody to know this. I watched season 1, episode 1.
Yeah. All right. Is this after you accidentally watched season 2, episode 1?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you had to bring that up. Yeah, I was trying to figure out.
This doesn't make any sense.
Why would they start a show and just go in like I know every character? It's like so weird. Yeah. So what Adam's talking about there is, I decided I was going to finally watch Game of Thrones, right? So I went into, I have all the episodes on my server, and I went and thought I had selected season 1, episode 1, but in essence, I did do season 2, episode 1, watched it in its entirety, and then, you know, at the very end, I'm like, that is so weird, and then when it goes back to the main screen, it then let me know what episode I just watched. I'm like, So then I did watch season 1, episode 1, but I could be 2 episodes in. In a row.
Yeah, you can skip that one next time.
No, I won't remember it. Even though it's only what? That'll only be like 11 episodes away because of the way there's 10 episode seasons, etc.
Hey, not to change the subject, and I do want to come back to Game of Thrones. I know you have it in the show notes here to discuss a little bit about it. As far as your take on season 1, episode 1, which it's been a while for me.
I don't remember any of this.
No, I will remember it. The trick will be remembering what happens just in episode 1 and not everything else. And we won't break it down into a major thing. But
break it down!
We do have a couple things to get to. Hammer time. No. But
every time you see me.
We have a couple things to get to right off the top before we do our favorite activity and dive into things. We have a lot of topics this week, right? We've got
a lot of things. We do, maybe too much, actually.
We've got some cell phone talk. We've got some Google photographer talk, a little bit of movie news, and even a birth control app. But before we do that, we've got a riddle from last week we carried over.
Oh, right? Yes.
Sure do.
And did we get anybody send anything in? Any question or responses or guesses?
Yes, we did get one.
Oh. Okay.
You have. Why don't you go ahead and refresh our listeners on what the riddle was, and then I will play that for us.
Alrighty. So last week's riddle, it goes like this. Ripped from my mother's womb, beaten and burned, I become a bloodthirsty killer. What am I?
And I think it's a vampire, but you know.
You do? Adam, yeah. Did you come up with a guess?
Well, I had guessed metal, or like a sword.
Okay.
Sweet.
I think that was what I had guessed.
All right, so should I play our one listener
Let's
answer?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
No, let's just talk about it.
Good evening. This is Captain Poland speaking. After traveling thousands of miles, gave me time to reflect upon your interesting riddle. And I think the answer to your riddle is Ruda Jelaza, or as you Americans call it, the iron ore. Thank you, and good night.
Wow.
Man. So, Dave,
when you said vampire, he kind of has a vampire voice.
He does a little bit.
He's like, good evening.
I love the fact that...
One riddle. Such a unique voice. But anyway, go on.
I love the fact we heard from our good friend Captain Poland. It's good to hear from him again. I'm a little shocked because he was right on the nose with this thing. Iron ore. And,
yeah, how do you
know, it makes sense to me, and I would have given you your answer, I think, too, Adam, as far as steel or a sword, because that's kind of what they're referencing, that, you know, well, you pull the iron ore out of the
beaten
earth.
And burned, and I'm a killer. I'm just thinking of, like, somebody forging a sword.
Yep, yep.
You know,
and wielding the sword of Arnor. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about, I mean, that's how most serial killers are formed, because their parents beat them, burn them with cigarette butts, and they become a bloodthirsty killer.
Yeah. But the answer was iron ore, so Captain Poland... Hats off, man. Good job.
Hey, what is his native tongue again, Dave?
Polish. You know,
Polish?
Captain Poland.
Captain Poland.
But it didn't sound, it sounded more like, what did he say? No. what did he say? In my country or whatever, this is how we say it. It didn't sound Polish. I don't know what I expected, but it didn't sound Polish.
Yeah, I don't know what the Polish language sounds like when spoken.
Well, like that, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it almost have a little bit of like an Icelandic sound to it, but I don't think it did because that's a little different. But no, Polish is cool. So
it's kind of on the border with Ukraine and some of those other countries over there. So a lot of the similar
our favorites.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a new one for this week, Dave?
Yes, I do.
I do. So this week, are we going to carry it over one more week?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, Captain Poland loves it, but a lot of people, you know, we used to get more people, write in or, you know, message and stuff.
Let's see how easy this one is.
Yeah, okay. So a woman shoots her husband, then holds him underwater for 5 minutes. Finally, she hangs him. 5 minutes later, they enjoy a wonderful dinner together. How can this be?
Okay, yes. I know the answer.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay.
So end of the show.
Probably end of the show.
Yeah, we can do end of the show. There you go.
Okay. So just for what it's worth, before you guys tease me about going on kids' riddle sites, I pulled this one straight off the bottom of our Digital Soup website, which gives up a random riddle every time you load the site. So for those of you who haven't had a chance to go check out our brand new website at digitalsouppodcast.com, another one of those cool little Easter eggs we have down at the bottom right-hand corner. Mm. So that's
well,
the riddle.
Okay, and so Dave, just so you know that I really do know the answer here. I'm not just making it up. I have a feeling that you and Captain Poland really know this answer. And
I
probably Adam a little bit, you know.
Well, a little bit. I totally know this.
kind of you're novice at these type of jokes.
That's
you guys aren't keeping me in the dark room. Anyway.
Wah, wah. So, I know normally we're going to dive into a...
Jason, you have got to get that dive sound effect like every time he says it.
Yeah, exactly. And I deleted it after I made that Instagram, and now I got to go find it again. I know. Right. I was thinking the same thing, Adam. Every time he says it, I'm going to go... Ch-ching,
Well,
all right.
Normally, this is time for Gonna Geek promo read. I want to save it for just a little bit because I've got I think rather than doing two every episode, I'm going to go with just one a week. So we're not breaking up the flow of the show too much. But I wanted to talk real quick because I saw we talked a little bit last week about cell phones and in the news coming out between all the different stuff we were looking at there last week. And I found a phone out here, some news on The Verge and a review of this phone. It's an Android-based phone with, you know, probably the most, I don't know, arrogant title maybe. It's literally called the Essential Phone. And their goal is that they want this to be the phone that everyone must have. Now, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at this at all. And the article goes into some real techie specs and everything. And we've got that linked up on the show notes here. It's a beautiful looking cellular, you know, modular system. Again, one of these types of phones that they're looking at making into kind of like the Red phone we talked about last week, where they're looking at your cell phone as being just the core unit of this modular system, where they've got these really cool magnetic attachment points on the back that lets you clip on accessories. Now, right now, the only accessory they have for it is this clip-on 360 camera, which is kind of how I found it when, you know, just searching out for, you know, tech stories and photography stories and stuff like that. But huge display on it, very nice looking, edge to edge, all of that stuff. You know, from the article, what I'm seeing is that this thing looks like it's decent as far as speed and how it works.
But, so Essential is the actual name brand
of
the phone. It's called Essential. Yeah. I scrolled down the article. I'm looking at TheVerge.com right now, and they have a bunch of information on here.
Right.
This just caught my eyes. It says, I simply like holding and using this phone, and I love that it is unapologetically rectangular.
Yeah.
As opposed to all those other triangle phones.
Well, I think what they're talking
mine's
about
there.
Mine's
an octagon.
An octagon, how sweet would that be? No, I think what they're talking about is how you see so many
MMA.
You're seeing so many of the new phones that are making these really rounded corners. Now, granted, this isn't sharp, pointy corners, but it is a much more rectangular shape, you know, almost more of a brick shape. You know, it's price wise going to come in, looks like about $699. So it's looking at competing with some of the iPhones or Samsung devices out there. But you know, the big question that this article over on The Verge talks about is it trying to do too much? I mean, that's a pretty big claim to come in and name yourself the Essential phone. Like, this is the only one you're gonna need, and if they could hit on that, great. I really do think that both Apple and Samsung could use some really solid competition.
Agreed,
you know, to help keep things moving forward. But
one thing I'd like to mention here, though, Dave, did you actually scroll all the way down to the bottom, almost the bottom, right above the comments?
I did. Not into the comments, I didn't, but...
Okay. But right above the comments where it lists the good stuff of the phone and the bad stuff of the phone. I mean, the number one bad thing about the phone, especially when we're talking about 3D, you know, add-ons and stuff, it says it has a somewhat disappointing camera. Yeah, isn't that the whole purpose almost of... The modules and stuff, you're going to have a great camera, and then it has a disappointing one.
It is, and when you read the article, they spend a fair amount of time talking about the camera in this phone, and this guy says that basically the camera is unproven to him, because at this point, what he's seen, the majority of the time he had it to use it, the camera wasn't stellar. It wasn't horrible. But it wasn't great, you know, like the pros and cons say, kind of disappointing given that it's basing itself on being this core unit with a great mobile camera. But he says in the article, it was just a day or two before he had to turn it back in. The phone did receive some sort of operating system update that supposedly increased the camera performance, and he didn't have a ton of time to really test that to its limits. He said it still wasn't probably on par with the new iPhone 7s or the new Samsung phones, but that's exactly it. I mean, that's what really most people are looking for in their phones is something with a great camera on it, unfortunately, you know.
You know, it's another interesting thing on here. They mentioned this is not waterproof.
Yeah.
And the newer Samsungs and the iPhones are, which is really beneficial because everyone at some point accidentally drops their phone in the water somehow or gets it wet.
In the toilet. What?
Shoot.
It's kind of curious, though, that it isn't waterproof because I see one of the under the bad category does say it has no headphone jack. And that was one of the main reasons why iPhone went headphone jackless was because to make it more waterproof. So, you know, what's the point of taking out the jack if you're not going to make it waterproof?
Yep. And I agree with that. I saw that and thought, you know, what is the point of this? You know, and they talk about it competing with the Pixel phone and a few others as well in this article. And, you know, I'm kind of torn on this. I really hope they can get some kind of software update to this thing that will bring it up to speed in the camera department, because the rest of the specs seem all right. I mean, you know, you're looking at a very large screen, 5.71 inch, but they said when compared to even the iPhone 7S, this screen felt much larger. So you're getting same physical dimensions roughly, but a much bigger screen size because it's edge to edge. You've got 128 gigs of storage in it, 4 gigs of RAM. Battery life seemed decent as far as what they're saying.
It might be a new company that's kind of on par with some of the existing ones is what it looks like. Yeah. It's interesting. Will this phone be able to run the birth control app?
Well, and that's...
I thought you were going to say, will this phone blend?
Yeah. It might. That's a different show.
Did you guys see this when I put it in the show notes? I just about peed myself laughing. And then,
well, that's good because it can test it and see if you're pregnant.
Right. Well, and then,
oh, I thought it was like a, here's a picture of the Digital Soup podcast. Good luck. Yeah, you're right. No longer going to be able to have children.
Oh, well, I mean, I saw this and I started
maybe
laughing.
You without your beard, you look like, I don't know what you look like now.
He looks like a teenager.
You look like Francis.
Francis.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
What, from Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
No. He's that big guy that did those, Francis, those video game, things, and he would like,
oh no, I don't,
I'm just not familiar with that.
Okay, well, listeners, send Adam some links to Francis on YouTube.
Yep. All right, go ahead, send those directly to Jason at Digital Zoo Podcast. Oh,
no, natural, I've seen it. Send it.
Let's
Adam.
Talk. Let's talk about natural cycles.
Yeah,
guys.
And I know people. Oh, people are gonna look at this and they're gonna hear it and they're gonna think, why are these guys talking about this? But I put this in because, like I said, first off, I nearly died laughing at first. And then I started thinking about it and realized this is a real thing. And it brought up an interesting question for me. So looking at this, there's an app on the phone. Now, this is right now it's been certified in the European Union over in Europe as a legitimate form of birth control. And essentially the app will go in and you pee on a stick or whatever you're going to do. And it reports back to your phone every day and logs everything and says,
oh, so the stick has like Bluetooth
something. Yeah. And,
oh, yellow tooth.
or red tooth, depending on the, never
mind. Oh no, oh, stop. So, oh. So no, oh man,
Dave lost his train of thought.
What, how it works, each morning you don't pee on anything. The users, you measure your temperature and that logs it into the app.
It's a temperature. Yep, it's
then it uses an
stick.
Algorithm to calculate if a day is green, meaning not fertile, or red, when fertility is likely and using protection is recommended. Now
temperature of what?
It doesn't say. It just says users measure their temperature.
Okay, that seems okay. So we know what this app is doing then, because yeah, if green means infertile, red means fertile. Yeah,
green means go ahead.
Okay, green means go. Red means stop.
Yep.
So this is for people who don't want to have a child, because they'd switch those two if they're
right,
looking to have
and
a
that's
child.
Hence why we said it's a birth control app, not a contraceptive assistant. But this thing is like 52 bucks.
I still
bucks.
Want pee sticks, though.
It's a Swedish-based company. It's about 52 bucks a year for a yearly plan. Includes a thermometer, or you can pay monthly, I guess. But they're
saying, Bluetooth thermometer?
Well, they're saying
it's got to be.
Company says its clinical studies have shown the app is effective for contraception, comparable to the contraceptive pill. Has over 300,000 users in 161 countries. This has been certified by the European Union, European Union, as being an effective form of birth control. How much would you trust a phone app to tell you, hey, honey, we're hooking up after a bar night? No, the app says I'm good to go tonight. Sure, let's go ahead.
Let me just get this thermometer out and that'll
even
me.
As a married couple that doesn't want to have kids just yet. I mean, man.
Here's one issue, though, because, it could be saying you're not fertile at that moment, but I have heard that the fellas can stay swimming for a while,
right.
So for days. So you might not be fertile today, but, hey, 2 days from now, yep, you might be fertile, and they'd be like, all right, we found where we're going. Yeah. Yep.
Welcome to Fertile Myrtle. Here we go.
I'm going to dive in.
Yep.
Well,
so, and it doesn't also, knowledge as a contraceptive, I guess, is really what this is. There's no physical contraception here. It's just straight up like, yeah, you won't get pregnant, but it has nothing to do with STDs,
no,
nothing, you know, so there's definitely, it doesn't solve all those problems, but it's just a hope, you know, we're going to guess you're not going
to
get pregnant.
But for a government to come out and say, yes, we are certifying this as an acceptable form of contraception, similar to the pill with the equivalent effectiveness, that's pretty darn scary.
Okay, but which country was
it? The entire European Union. It went through all of their protocols.
Every place? Germany, Spain, everybody.
That's what it's saying. The EU.
Well, I thought I just took the temperature. I didn't know anything about your peeing.
Yeah, I think it's just temperature. It's not peeing.
You said European.
Jeez. Now, here's the thing. Now, Dave, you are incorrect with one thing, because I am looking at this website here, and there are accessories that you can purchase for this. One of them is a pair of underwear that you can actually put the phone as a pocket in the front for the phone, and it is a great contraceptive because nothing will be getting past that.
And then screensaver on, it's a giant padlock. No, I mean, think about this, though. Here's another thought. They had over 300,000 people, I think it said. Didn't I just say that? Something like that. Yeah, 300,000 users in 161 countries testing this out. Who are these people signing up saying, you know what, I'll test it out. I don't care if I get pregnant either way. What's the difference?
Well,
I mean, they had to sign some kind of waiver, I'm sure.
There's also another big question is who's getting this data?
Yeah, it looks like it's a company. Yeah. I don't know how to say it. Tuvsud.
I mean,
European inspection.
The last thing I would want, all of a sudden you're going to see Amazon ads pop up like, oh, it looks like you're fertile today. You might want to buy some chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, is this, and they're wondering if, you know, because it's been certified by this European inspection and certification company, gave them the CE certification in February, means it's now considered a medical device for contraception in Europe. Hmm. To get it, it's, you know, it's gone through a series of clinical studies and everything else. They're wondering now if the US will be the next place that this app gets, you know, the green light from the government. And I mean, how many dumb people out there are going to rely on an app?
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to fly in the U.S. because we're Sue hungry. So somebody is going to get this app. They're going to get pregnant even though they followed it to the T, and they're going to sue.
But is that any different than Trojan?
I don't know. I think that this might actually catch on. Just, you know, people are already staring at their phones
this
all day long.
This is tech.
Well, if you're fertile.
And this is life-changing for people. I mean, it's not like
just crazy. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's not like just fumbling in the dark.
No.
Trying to put
as alarming as this sounds, at the same time, if this thing's actually pretty accurate, that's some pretty incredible algorithms that they've got written to try to determine
exactly
that stuff. So interesting yet cautious is kind of the response.
For me, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, we're done having kids, you know, unless something major surprise happens, you know, which if it does, it does. But, you know, for a lot of people that are, you know, looking to start families and everything, if this works well, because like you said, Jason, as a contraceptive, you know, green would have been, you know, or red would have been, they would have been flip-flopped, you know, if it was for people trying to get pregnant. There's no reason they can't just say, hey, are you trying to have a kid? Hit this switch in the app and say, here's your fertility app at the same time. And they've got a whole new market to sell this to at 52 something a year. Whatever it worked out to be, I forget what that price was. I saw $52 a year or $7.80 a month right now. That's a pretty good, you know, chunk of change that I bet you'd have a lot of people signing up for, because that's still probably cheaper than going to the doctor, getting a prescription, or whatever else methods you're using. And especially when you start looking at people that are trying to have a kid, I mean, that's a very expensive process. So
interesting.
I saw this, and to me, it was one of those things that was just kind of like, it blew my mind. It terrified me. It made me laugh at first. And then I realized, like, wow, this is crazy and, you know, terrifying, I think, a little bit because of the level of technology that's now invading this kind of a very personal space for a lot of people. But then, like you said, Adam, it's pretty amazing, too. Like, what a great tool this could be.
Yep.
If it legitimately
works. Another concern would be that if there's, you know, again, amazing, but think about this. You got teenagers downloading this app, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't need to have protected
that's the terrifying
relations
part.
Anymore. I'll be fine. My app says I'm good.
Just got to pee right afterwards, maybe do some Jumpa Jacks. I'm good.
Anyway, 9 months later, their water break. Speaking of watermarks, can we talk about
water?
Can we talk about these Google saying to beware to the photographers on using watermarks? Sorry, guys, I had to find a segue. There was only one way to pull out of that topic.
I'm still laughing. I can't help
so it. Dave's the one that put this up. I actually haven't even read about this. So tell me about it, Dave.
How, Adam, as a photographer yourself, how do you feel about putting a watermark on your images? The big, you know, logo or something
across
your
image. I'm used to it. I'm acclimated to it because as a web designer, graphic designer years prior, if you found a really good image, it was always watermarked so that way they'd make sure that you paid for it. So,
right. And you see that in big places like stock agencies,
iStock,
Adobe
Photo,
stock.
All those kind of places. So I'm pretty used to it. I don't do it because I'm not actually a professional in the market for that stuff. But
I did a lot. You know, when I first got into it, it was one of those things everyone said, you got to do this. People are going to steal your work and da-da-da. And then I got to the point where I got sick of seeing that mark on my images. So I just decided to stop putting it on there. But it's a really contentious point for a lot of people where, you know, a lot of people feel that if you're going to put that watermark on your image before you share it online, you're just ruining the image because it draws so much attention away from the image itself. But that's not the argument here. Basically, Google has shown with some different algorithms and tools they were using how easy it is to remove a visible watermark from the images.
Yeah, I suppose.
Basically with just an automated system, and who this really impacts are those places like you mentioned, iStock Photo, Adobe Stock, Getty Images, all of those, because they're always in the same spot. You know, usually it's a big giant thing right across the middle of the photo. And what they're saying is that when that watermark is in that same spot all the time, it's very easy to average out 40 or 50 images, and suddenly you know what's part of the image and what's actually the watermark. Simple to create a mask based on that, and boom. All those watermarks are gone. And it's kind of crazy because that's who it's going to hurt the most is these stock places.
You know, to me, watermarking, if you gave me a photo with a watermark on it, I could probably, if I took long enough time, if I really wanted to, I could eliminate the watermark because you would just clone very, very close pixels. You know, you'd look at it and, you know, you can take a high res image, do that and shrink it. You wouldn't even be able to tell. But, so to me, this is more watermarking has always been more of a tactic to keep out the casual, you know, someone right clicking and just using it in their website because it's got, you know, 123rf.com all over it or whatever. You know, it's so I don't know. I guess it does pose some danger to like you said, the big stock photo places. But they also I did a website once for someone, and the photo that was used at the top, you know, I asked, did you have permission to use this, blah, blah, blah. It was, yep. Well, the stock photography place issued a notice to that customer.
Cease and desist.
Well, it was a pay us now or pay us this or else we'll sue you.
Demand
kind of thing.
Later.
Or Guido will
so
be over.
It was a real bad deal. So, I mean, they actually have Guido.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go. You're going to remove that image or I'm going to kill you.
So
you like fish. Pictures of fish?
So anyway, it's pretty interesting. They actually have, there's people and firms out there that, you know, look for this stuff and, you know, make sure the licensing is there. So I don't know. What do you think?
There's a lot of services that even you or I can do simply on our own by uploading our own image to the service and saying, okay, go scour the internet, see where this is being used. And I've run into
like
this
the
myself.
Reverse Google
where,
image search.
Yeah, some of those. And there are some other different tools out there and services you can sign up for. I tried a couple over the years. And I mean, the one service that I was with for a little while until I got frustrated with them, they found my images being used all over the place, including at a major airline. That's being used like in all of their training materials and everything.
You're famous.
And did you sue?
I was like, Well, I told him because that was part of the service was go after this one. I never licensed this image to them. And they wrote back to me, you know, their system, you know, after you submit the claim, gets back to you and says, we don't see a problem with their usage of this one, so we're not doing anything. And I was like, what's the point of having you? What do you mean there's no problem? This is a major corporation that's using my material and, you know, my photographs, and I know they're not in advertisements or anything else, but they didn't license anything for me to use it company-wide. So it irritated me, but at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? Forget it. It's not worth it to me to hire lawyers and everything else just to try and get them to stop using it. You know, what you really need to do in order to I don't want to say make
was it,
money
was it
off
Delta?
Of it, but you need to, yeah.
Was it really?
It was.
And it was Delta, yep. And, you know, what you need to do as a photographer, you know, you can get them to take it down. But in order to get them to pay you, or if you're going to sue them for copyright infringement, you have to get that registered with the U.S. Copyright Office. So, and it costs money to do that, and you can send them in digitally, and there's a process to do that. But you have to have that registered and be able to prove that, nope, this image is registered with the Copyright Office, and I own this, and now you are going to pay me. If you want to get paid from people stealing your work, that's how you do it.
You have to register each photo with the Copyright Office?
If you want to get monetary damages from it, yeah.
So
it's a pain. And now you can submit it, from what I understand, in batches, mm-hmm. where you can submit up to, I forget if it's 300 photos at a time, something like that. And you can send them all in and they'll go through and file them all, and that's fine. But for someone, you know, think about today's culture where you're shooting and people are publishing photos on Instagram every single day or multiple right. times a day. Who's going
right.
to
they're probably
up on
counting
that?
On no one's ever going to see our training materials and
yeah.
Interesting.
But there are countless stories out there of major companies.
So this what Google's talking about here is just making it easier for people to get away with that. Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. But, you know, you can embed copyright information right into the file. Whether that gets stripped out by services like Facebook or Instagram, a lot of those services will strip out all of your EXIF data, sure. which also strips out all mm-hmm. of your copyright information. And that's where it's a big mess. And, you know, this is a very, you know, slippery slope topic where you can get really deep into it.
Are we to the point where we need to start embedding like hidden copyright information in the image itself?
There's a lot of people that will do that. And that's kind of what this article says, too, is if you want to, you know, help avoid that, is just slightly warp every time you place a watermark on it, slightly warp that text a little bit, move it, shift it, just tiny incremental amounts. And that way that automated systems, when they're searching that, they won't be able to pick it out and there'll be remnants of it left on the screen.
Well, what I do, and maybe I'm a little bit ahead of the curve here, but what I like to do for all of my pictures is I like to inverse it. And, you know, then, you know, nobody can get the actual image then.
You still so can. So you're putting up essentially
flip it
a
upside
digital
down.
Negative.
But then I flatten it so it's only one layer. You can't do nothing with that, right? I'm not an expert, so I don't
all
know.
All I got to do, yeah, you take that right into Photoshop, hit the one button that says invert color, boom.
Jason's just saying things he's heard people talk about.
Okay, so here's what I do. I fish I lens every picture.
Right. Well, that's actually the best way to prevent it.
Yeah, you can't unfish eye.
Because no one will want to steal it. Do you HDR it and tone map
oh,
it
yeah.
too? That's a good way to make sure no one
but,
steals
your
work.
You know, back on point here, I actually did come across a company that actually stole my image and used it in marketing. I mean, all of their marketing. And we went to court, but I didn't get anything for it, unfortunately.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I was for some muscle yeah. building regimen, and I was the before picture.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say.
And they never never asked me to use my image.
And that's hey, by the way, this is a great time to point out if you're gonna use something in marketing, you do have to get a photo release form. Now, yep. there is a little bit of leeway when I believe when it comes to pictures that were taken in public.
Not it depends on how you're going to use
it. Yeah, it's not for sale. You know, like, you know, go sell this picture or whatever. But I've seen if it's in the public, it's not, You don't have to get a permission. You don't have to get a permission form from somebody to publish it. Not for resell, but.
Yeah, I mean, you can publish it on your personal website and say, hey, here's some street photography I did. But the second you want to put it as a print and you sell it,
right,
or you want to try and sell it to a company as a, you know, location environmental advertisement shot or fine art or whatever it is, any of those times you are going to need that.
I'm just thinking posting a photo on your social media of like, and you took a picture of the street and people are walking around. That you do not have to get permission.
No.
In fact, you never would be able to. Back when I went to community college, I was part of a photo shoot. It was, they got a bunch of students to sit around a table and pretend like we liked each other. And years later, somebody went to the, they're like, oh, Adam, I see you in the movie theater all the time. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it was the advertisement for the Range Technical Community College back in the late 90s. It was like me and a bunch of other kids sitting around this table, and they were just still using it. But they they got the proper forms, and it was like...
Yep, and that's the thing. Like, when I shoot even families...
families?
Oh, my
weddings,
gosh.
You know, any of that kind of stuff, I always have them sign a model release. And the reason being is that I never know if those wedding pictures I just took, if I'm going to have a series of 8 or 10 of them that are amazing and the Knot magazine or Bride magazine or something like that decides, you know what, we love these images. We want to use them as a, you know, part of an article in our magazine. We're going to pay you X amount to use them. Great. Or maybe a preset company or something for Photoshop or Lightroom says, hey, these are great examples of how our presets work. Can we use them in our advertising without that proper or model release? I can't.
Interesting.
You know, I can give them to them,
sure,
but they don't have the rights to use them.
That makes sense. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit here. We've got some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
From the set of Deadpool 2. Dave, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, it's, you know, I put it in here. This is a little bit of older news, so many of our listeners have probably seen this. Something we kind of wanted to bring up last week, we totally spaced it out, but on the set of Deadpool 2, it seems that there was an accident involving a motorcycle during a stunt, and unfortunately, one of the stunt women had passed away during this filming of the Deadpool 2 movie. A lot of statements out there from guys like Ryan Reynolds and you know, the other directors in the film studios and everyone else. Really a sad thing. I mean, you hate to see that happen anytime, but especially when, you know, it's a movie like this that's really, I mean, Deadpool, the first one, did really, really well. And so it's kind of a no-brainer that they're making the sequel. But, you know, unfortunately, this is the kind of thing where you start seeing these superhero movies with these crazy stunts and everything else, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, is it worth the risk that these stunt people are putting into it? Granted, that's their profession, what they choose to do, but still kind of a bummer for a movie that was getting a lot of buzz because they were showing the new images of Cable and Domino and some of the set photos and stuff, and then it kind of really just, you know, came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, with definitely
this,
a buzz killer. Now the stunt industry, though, these guys, if you remember, you guys remember the original Mad Max? I don't know if it was the Mad Max or the second one.
Beyond
Road Warrior.
Thunderdome.
But there's a stunt in there where this motorcyclist hits something and he flies like end over end and lands. And in that actual stunt, he broke both his legs, but they kept it in the movie.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And there,
right?
Was, what was it, the Twilight Zone? Yeah, the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, yeah.
The helicopter crashed and decapitated people.
Yeah, I mean, it killed the main actor and the child actor.
I think both child actors or something. Yeah, they got just horrific, and a lot of it has to, you know, that I think that changed a lot of the safety standards, you know, and things like that, because there probably weren't any. This kind of, I don't have the details on it, but I just read that it was kind of a motorcycle accident, like, and she wasn't wearing a helmet.
Yeah, they showed pictures, obviously not detailed about the accident scene or anything else, but they did show images. It looks like she crashed through a window or something, and I'm not sure what was going on. In Deadpool, you can imagine it's a big motorcycle chase scene and someone come riding through a building and jumping out a window or something, you know, and I don't know what happened, if it was a, you know, the crash or the window or what it was, but yeah, unfortunately.
I just found some details here. This is on deadline.com. I can't give 100% accuracy. Yeah, no kidding.
Oh.
A temporary work site had been set up to record a film scene for a movie production. The site had been cordoned off from general public and traffic by Vancouver PD. The worker had been rehearsing a stunt scene that involved driving a motorcycle out of the open doors of a building, across a concrete pad, and down a ramp that had been built over three stairs, and coming to a stop on the stair landing. During the first shooting of the scene, the stunt driver continued driving beyond the planned stopping spot on the stairway landing and continued to drive down a second ramp built over the bottom stairs and across the roadway. The motorcycle struck the concrete sidewalk curb. The worker was thrown off the motorcycle and propelled through a plate glass window of a building. Didn't stop, kept on going down a ramp, hit a curb, flew off into a building. Terrible.
I mean,
well, so you that's guys, sad you know, and unfortunate and
you know, the worst part about it, people, when they go watch this movie, they're going to be watching for that scene to see if it makes it into the final cut. And that's the part that really makes me sad, just for people in general. Like, don't do that. You know, give some respect. Don't go out watching for someone to die.
Kind of like Brandon Lee and The Crow. You know,
I was just
like,
going to mention
scene
that.
Was that? And, you know, it happens. Accidents happen, and it's unfortunate. Right. And we just, you know.
Well, we had another stuntman die just last month on the set of Walking Dead. It was Rick Grimes' stunt double. He fell and died from head injuries. That was
for real?
Yeah, like July 13th or something.
Huh. I hadn't heard about that one.
Why not? Jason,
so I'm not laughing about that, but Jason posted this picture in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes, his before picture.
No, that's Francis, who I said Adam looks like now that he's shaved.
Oh. I don't know about that.
Interesting.
A little bit of the facial hair looks a little bit.
Facial hair, but the guy looks like he weighs a lot more than me.
Yeah, he just had what do you call it? Gastro bypass like 2 weeks ago. So okay. We'll see what happens to him.
Okay,
interesting.
Well, before we go on with any more, because we do have some more positive news, possibly as far.
I hope so. We don't want to be the downer.
Well, we're not. We're not going to end this on a, well, pour one out for our homies. We're going to keep it upbeat, but we do want to take just a second and remind everyone to go check out GunnaGeek.com because we are a proud member of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, where you'll find shows on all sorts of different topics related to geekdom. Everything from, you know, general geek world topics like what we do here on the Digital Soup, to, you know, show specific things like if you're into Arrow or you're into The Flash or Game of Thrones. Now, I just told you guys earlier that, you know, I just finished up Game of Thrones. I've been chatting with the host of this show on Twitter a little bit here tonight and over the last couple of weeks with these episodes because it's so good this season. But I want to give a plug this week to our show on the Gunna Geek Network called Tyrion's Landing. This was for their episode from last week. They will have a new episode coming up, of course, with tonight's episode on there. But last week, they had a special guest, Justin Robert Young, joined the regular hosts, Jeannie, Rachel, and Nikki, in discussing the developments in the episode titled Eastwatch. Now, very, very short description of that. I urge you guys, go check this out if you're into Game of Thrones, because they give some interesting breakdown, kind of scene by scene, as well as some predictions on where they think things are going. So Tyrion's Landing over on the Gunna Geek Network. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, great place to find some information. So with that, back into TV. What do you guys have?
What do we have for you?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. For you. I got stuff for the listeners, though.
I feel like I'm talking.
You are, and you really need to settle down a little bit, okay?
Okay, I'm going to just, so, you guys Adam. Talk amongst yourself. Well, I'll be right back.
There was a trailer for Punisher that hit YouTube. Yeah. That looked kind of cool. Yeah. Now, he's played by the guy that played Shane, right?
In
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead, yes.
John Barenthal, yep. I think
still,
his name is.
And you think in the Punisher, he'll be rubbing his head a lot like he was as Shane in The Walking Dead?
Well, you've seen him already as the Punisher, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, have we? What was he? Was he the Punisher?
Daredevil.
Season 2 of Daredevil.
I saw season 1, episode 1 of Daredevil.
Are you, Are you sure it wasn't season 2, episode 1?
No, it was
you like season 1. You need to watch Daredevil because, yeah, Punisher trailer hit. They haven't given a release date for it yet, though, which is kind of
interesting. No, they're doing like a short series like the other ones.
Netflix. Okay. Yep, Netflix original, I believe. Now, here's the thing. I'm excited because I do like the character of the Punisher, and we might have talked about this before, but he's a very tough character to do a long-term recurring show on. Because what does the Punisher do?
He punishes.
He kills them. They're done.
He gives them ice cream.
Yeah. Come with me if you want a cone.
Now you're making him sound like a pedophile.
No.
Hey, little kitties, would you like some ice cream?
I was thinking of Terminator, come with me if you want to live. Instead, I said a cone. Never mind. Bad joke. But the Punisher kills his bad guys. And so it's really tough to set up a good villain that he's not going to just kill. And it's really tough to get that tension, you know, because you know he's the Punisher. You know he's going to win. And you know that villain is not coming back.
Nope, I know a perfect villain for him to go up against that he'll never be able to best, but he'll keep trying over 18 seasons of the Punisher show.
18?
Yes. We take Loki from Asgard, and I do not think the Punisher could probably best him. What do you think?
No.
Wow, you guys just aren't into this.
I said no. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what I think about Loki. I've rewatched a little bit of...
I kind of always liked the Loki character. I kind of thought it was interesting.
I did, but, you know, I watched
He's
recently...
so bad, you just want to like him, right?
Well, it was like last weekend, I think, I caught just about, 40 minutes or so of the first Avengers movie. And, of course, he's in there, and I don't know. I just found that the character didn't seem as... bad as I thought, as I remembered. Like when I first saw that, I remember thinking, man, this is a major villain, you know, but he's got the complexity of kind of being helping out in the end or whatever it's going to be sometimes. But I just didn't find him as menacing.
Well, definitely not in Thor Ragnarok. It's like a buddy film.
I can't wait to see
it. It's
that.
Like, I'm Thor coming Ragnarok. To join. I'm turning the fight now. Yeah.
You know, then there was a new trailer for that. That had just a little bit more in it, which had Doctor Strange at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing about the trailer, real fast, before you guys go in and dissect it all, is I loved the way it was kind of like setting a decade for it. I mean, it almost seemed like 70s script on the screen. You know what I'm talking about? Like
font.
And like just
the music.
I thought it was really cool the way they did that.
Yeah, and you can tell they're going straight fun on this one.
It looks good.
Yeah, I like the Hulk. I don't know what I feel about Hulk talking so well, but I like that one scene where Hulk and Thor are talking, and he's like, we're like raging fires or something, and I can't remember what exactly it was like. And it goes, Hulk like raging fire, you like smoldering fire, or a little bit smoldering.
Yeah, I like that the Hulk could come up with smoldering.
Yeah, he's throwing out, you know.
I mean, granted, he is a genius as Bruce Banner, as the Hulk, what are they doing with this character? Are they kind of like Bruce Banner's having a little bit more consciousness during his Hulk out?
I don't know. I mean, what the talk about this is, and I'm not sure with Doctor Strange now showing up in there, a lot of speculation on if Doctor Strange is how Hulk got to this other planet, and we know how Thor gets there through his battle on Asgard and everything else, but we don't know if Doctor... I mean, we'll have to wait and see, obviously, in the movie, but could be that Doctor Strange shows up to help bring them back to Earth also, or back to Asgard or something like that. So who knows? It's interesting that they're really starting to tie it together. With Marvel, I'm excited for Thor. I think it'll be fun. I'm excited for Punisher. The Defenders just came out last Friday, and I haven't had a chance to sit down and blast through that yet, but it's on the to-do list, hopefully this week. But, you know, it's something I was thinking about where looking at what's come out this summer and this year already, we've had Logan, we've had Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we've had Wonder Woman, we've had Spider-Man, we still have Thor, we've got the Defenders, the Punisher, we've got... Justice League coming. We've got so many of these movies, especially a lot of Marvel for a lot of years. do you think that the general public is still getting excited about these movies, or do you think that, you know, it's kind of like everyone's hit their peak Marvel saturation?
I'm completely done with superhero movies. I'm going strictly rom-com.
Man, that's not bad.
I'm all sometimes documentaries. You need to
cleanse your palate a little.
I watched Incredible Hulk today. So,
which yeah. one was that one?
The one with Edward Norton. I'm trying to get my daughter caught up with. So we started with Iron Man. And I'm going to take her through the whole Marvel thing all the way up to the mm-hmm. top. Just to, she's old enough now that she won't have nightmares from that stuff. So
right. That's cool.
Yeah, it's still fun. I think a lot of it has to, you know, and I was probably one of the first ones to say, doesn't it feel like we're getting over saturated with it? At the mm-hmm. same time, superhero movies and comic books are some of those. The reason they're comic books, it's like to put all this action and adventure and mm-hmm. amazing feats, to, you know, it's easy to draw. The stories are amazing. And now we have the ability to actually put this on screen in a way that looks realistic, mostly.
Yeah, sometimes
for the most part. And well, it's
back
pretty
and
awesome.
Watch those. Yeah. Well, you are rewatching them. So I know when yeah. I watched that part of Avengers, I was blown away, like, wow, they look. I remember those effects when I first saw it. I was like, holy cow, that is Captain America. Whoa. And then you look at what he looks like in Civil War or the most recent movies, and it's like, boy, they were in the ballpark back then, you know. When you go back, it's like, yeah, yep. they're a little too shiny, a little too clean. But
well, the interesting thing to me is that it really ramps up as far as like how far fetched, you know, starting with Iron Man. Yeah. He's in what, Iraq, Afghanistan? I don't remember which one it was. Afghanistan,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, somewhere and over there. Yeah,
he builds a suit, you know, using right. engineering and parts and. You know, the whole thing is based somewhat on, you know, reality. There's no crazy space things or anything. The only yeah. thing, the arc reactor was the most far-fetched part of it.
Right.
You know, and as you go, now it's, you know, Iron Man, you know, in Iron Man 3, which I wasn't a big fan of, he's talking about like, well, you know, he's seen all this weird stuff and it's just kind of affecting his mind. And that's the only thing I really liked about that is, yeah, how nuts would you feel? After I just flew into another dimension to throw a nuke up there and just.
Well, and it was crazy because they kind of hinted at it. I think it was in Iron Man 3 about the big storyline in the Iron Man comic books where Tony Stark is like a raging alcoholic and battles these demons. And it's a big storyline. And they hinted at that in the movie, but they never really went there. And that's where I think DC has the leg up because they are willing to go dark. And I think for me, I'm still excited. I want to see what happens, of course, with Thor and Black Panther and the next Avengers. And mostly because I've invested so much time in it. And I love these characters and this Marvel world they've created. I just want to see how it ends. I want to see what happens with this and be able to go back, you know, like you said, from the beginning, watch it all the way through this big epic story unfold. But that's why I'm also very excited about what DC's doing, even though a lot of people are nervous about, you know, all the reshoots and everything else. But there's just a different, I don't know, kind of a different level of darkness that comes and a feeling that's like not completely hopeless, but that you feel your yeah. heroes, even though they're way overpowered many times, you feel like they're having to work to win their battles. So,
well, I think some of that. You know, are we going too dark because Batman over success was, you know, was dark and like, hey, that one was dark. Yeah. Are there too many boardrooms that are coming up with these plot lines and yeah. ways versus, but you know, Wonder Woman was great. I'll give him that one. I didn't mind Batman v Superman too much.
I enjoyed both Man of Steel and Batman v Superman.
Speaking of going back and watching things from the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Game of Thrones a little bit because Jason, actually, you know, as he mentioned, he accidentally watched the wrong one and then watched the right one.
Right.
And you put that on here as a let's talk about that a little bit. So what was your first impression, Jason, of seeing Game of Thrones, which quite honestly, everyone goes nuts over and this whole series? What was your impression of seeing the first episode?
I was going to say the first thing I really did enjoy was the way they captured the time. I really felt, I mean, I granted it was only the first episode, well, and the second season first episode, but I really felt like I was back in this time, and I don't know exactly when this was supposed to have taken place. I don't think there was anything fictional, that popped up on the screen that said 1300 BC or
Middle Ages, like kind of a deal. Yeah,
it's completely fictional.
But I really did enjoy the visuals of it. The visuals were very good. The story, granted, I only saw the two episodes, so I don't know a whole lot about the story. But I'm starting to see some different things. It looks like I enjoyed Aquaman in it a lot. You know, Jason, what's his name? Jason Momomo or something?
Momoa.
Momoa. Yeah. He didn't speak much. He's what is he? Dothraki or something?
Dothraki.
Dothraki. Some of the characters are pretty interesting. Like, speaking of that story there, the two white-haired, the guy is like the king, and his sister.
Yep. Viserys and Daenerys.
And he gives his sister to Aquaman.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it like this.
Plot twist.
Because he needs Aquaman's army to regain his throne. Now, I'm getting this just from the first episode, so hopefully I'm doing okay.
Yep.
But the things he says to his sister, I would let 300 people take you or whatever to get my throne back. And then we have...
not if I'm using the right app, you won't.
Now, I'm a little confused here. Now, we have the... what is his name? Who is the...
Sean Bean?
I have Ned no idea Stark? What that means. Ned Stark. What do you do? Naming actors?
Ned. Yeah, these actors? These are...
Sean those Bean are the characters?
Plays Ned Stark, one of the main characters.
The main guy that's not the king, the big heavy guy that knows the other guy. But him and his family are here, and then the other guy comes. He's the king. And
that's Robert Baratheon, yep.
And who is the brother and sister that incestual?
The sister
are they Lannister. Related to that king?
Yeah, the sister is the queen. She's married to Robert Baratheon. That's Cersei. And the other guy, her brother, is Jaime Lannister. And they're twins, actually.
So what you're getting in that first episode is, so they call it Game of Thrones, and it's all these different houses. So the Starks in Winterfell, the Lannisters, the Baratheons, the Targaryens. They're just kind of showing all these different different houses that are going to be going at each other's throats, and they all have their own symbol, and so it's pretty good.
Yeah,
again, very very rated R, extremely rated.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you guys did tell me this. Now, I know that this was HBO's big show, and I watched the first one, and there's a lot of gratuitous nudity and sex in it. And I know from talking to you guys that they kind of lay back a little bit on that, and it's more story driven and stuff, which is good because I understand why they did it in the first season. This is a show you can only get on HBO. So that's probably why you have all that nudity and
not necessarily, though. I mean, partly because, it's HBO and they can do that. But also it's partly because if you read the books, there is a ton of this stuff happening in the books, too.
Oh, really?
But what makes it more disturbing is that in the books, many, many of your characters are like 11, 14 years old, 12 years old.
Oh, I mean, really?
When you think those scenes with Daenerys and her brother Viserys, when he's giving her away and she's in like the hot tub coming out or whatever.
Okay, so the white-haired people.
The white-haired ones, yeah.
I don't know any names yet. So.
They're the Targaryens. I won't spoil that for you, but basically you think about them. She is only in the books like 14 years old at that point. Obviously, the show didn't go there. They brought her to legal age. But
okay, answer this question for me real fast because I did watch season 2, episode 1.
Right.
Is that white-haired girl the same white-haired girl in season 2 that had the dragon on her shoulder?
Yep.
Okay, I kind of thought that was. All right.
Gave yourself a spoiler alert.
Well, yeah. I got many spoilers because I watched season 2, episode 1, and I saw the... I know that the kid that the one guy's carrying on his back, he now is the one that got pushed out of the window at the beginning. He can't walk, but I know he survives because I watched that. And I also got another spoiler in season 2, episode 1, that... not only is the king dead in the first season, but so is his friend who is the father of the crippled boy.
Ned Stark, yep.
Okay.
Oh, you've got you really gave yourself
so because I watched season two, episode one first, I spoiled all of that for myself.
Well, yes, not all of it. There's so much good stuff coming. Now, what you'll notice with this show, and this is what I'm going to prepare you for, the very first thing you see are these essentially what they call White Walkers.
Yes,
they
I saw that.
Zombie undead north of the wall. And you see them there in the first episode, and you don't really see a whole bunch more of them for a while. And that's what gets interesting with this show is there's so much of this political and, I don't know what you call it, dialogue-driven. And there's a lot of killing and a lot of battles and things that happen. But you see so much of this happening all in seemingly the real world, just between real people. But then this show keeps bringing in more and more of the mystical side, the magical side. And by the time you get to where we are now in season seven, it's full on mixing all of that. I mean, there is so much craziness. And if you stick with us, I'm excited to see how this goes for you because there are moments coming that I know, and you may have heard some, I'm not going to name them here, but there are moments coming that are going to just be shocking. And, you know, gut-wrenching. And, you know, you'll learn with this show that, I mean, people joke about it, but it's very true. There is not a single character on this show that is safe from being killed off.
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter who you get attached to and who you seem to like, there's a real good chance at some point they're going to die.
So one could say there's infinite fronts and infinite enemies in this Game of Thrones, just like the new StarCraft remaster.
You are the king of the segues tonight. Yeah. And you've stayed away from the edges of cliffs.
Exactly. Now, did you guys play StarCraft back in the day?
I used to watch you play it when I was 17, I think.
Yep. I wasn't huge into it. I mean, I played it some. I did enjoy Warcraft more.
Yep.
Just because I understood it more, I guess, because it's more rooted in, you know, RR tokens type stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Man. SP is going to be so disappointed in you. I understood it more. It's more rooted in things I understand, like, you know, magic and fantasy. This space stuff. What is this?
There were more druids.
Now I do remember...
level 14 paladin.
What was it? Wasn't it Korea that with the first StarCraft? I mean, they were crazy over it, right? Over in Korea,
I don't know.
Korean
Abdul-Jabbar.
Skyhook, yo.
It's like everybody played it. They had huge competitions constantly, and I believe it is Korea. But I do remember one of the biggest terms coming from that has been used in so many different games was Zerg. I'm sure you guys have heard Zerg, right?
That was
basically like just a huge rush of the Zergs, you know, just like a tank rush in, you know, a game that has, you know, modern type weapons and stuff. This was a rush of all the aliens, the Zergs or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
So did they just took the old game and redid it in HD or?
Yep. Yeah. They increased it up to 16:9 aspect ratio, native 4K. It doesn't look like it's still the same original graphics. They're just higher res and they look a lot better, but it's not like they went in and redrew all the, well, it's sprites, you know, back in the day. That's what it was. You know, it wasn't this whole thing. It's, you know what I mean? It's they didn't reprogram the whole game. They just kind of enhanced the graphics.
Hey, you know, when I'm looking at their site on StarCraft.com, they've got the remastered version or the free version.
Yeah, like, what's
you can
that?
Play StarCraft for free?
Yeah, the original. Yeah. So you're thinking about doing it? We're going to start a party? What are we going to do?
Yeah, I'm just land parties.
Always curious. It says free. Oh, I'm accidentally downloading it.
As Adam's like going zimmer.
Yeah, sorry guys, there goes my internet connection.
Well, what I'm finding interesting, I wonder what this means. I pulled up the site with you guys here. The remastered version is showing that it's going to have enhanced narrative. Now, is that some sort of story mode that they've maybe added to or redone? Or
possibly.
I'm not sure what else narrative would be. Or they just added dialogue in where there wasn't any before?
Maybe it was just words on the screen, and now they have voice actors.
Yeah, I don't know.
How old is StarCraft?
Oh, boy, this goes way back.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
I was going to say mid-90s, maybe.
Maybe later 90s.
1998.
Okay.
Later 90s. Woo! Give me a
later
point.
Later 90s.
Boom. Okay.
Well, it's an 18-year-old game. No.
18.
It's a 19-year-old game.
Wow, she's That's legal. Our... What?
Oh. You've been watching too much Game of Thrones.
No, you said they were like 11 in the book, so that's
well. In the show, they're not. Yeah, but
definitely not legal.
Now this game, yeah, it's the top down. I'm looking at some videos. Top down.
Oh, you really have never played this?
No, I know I've seen it. You know what I've seen of this game? The only thing I've seen of this game is I recognize the logo, and I remember seeing the box all the time. In back in those days, it was it wasn't GameStop. What was the big gaming stores like we used to go to? Well, GameStop was around, I suppose, but
I know what you're talking about because I used to go to it in the Duluth Mall all the time.
Yeah,
and I'm trying. I can't.
I don't remember. I mean, other stores.
JCPenney's.
Yeah.
No.
That's where I went for all my fine gaming and a nice suit.
Now, Dave,
and tie.
This game, basically, yes. What it was when it came out, Warcraft was out first, and I think even Warcraft 2 was out before StarCraft. Mm-hmm. This was Warcraft in space. That's even how they, I believe the ads even said, Warcraft in space.
Well, it was by Blizzard. So
yeah, it plays so much like Warcraft. You collect in resources, all that kind of stuff, but it's just with, you know, aliens and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it was fun. I mean, they had, like I said, Even in the U.S., they had all kinds of those competitions, you know, StarCraft competitions and stuff. And I don't know why over Warcraft they did it. Maybe I think it was a faster pace is what it was, if I Could remember right. It played a lot faster than Warcraft, where you might be chopping down trees for like an hour, where here you're not doing that.
Oh, I'd always just put the cheats
well,
on.
Well, that's just because there's no trees in space. I mean, come on.
space trees.
And there's no gravity. It's easy to move stuff.
Space gravity.
Yeah, space gravity.
Now, with a game like this, this is similar to also games like Age of Empires and things like that, where you're building your base, you're building your camps, building your troops, all these kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly why I've never played it, because these types of games, I always look at them and I think, boy, that looks like it'd be fun. Boy, that looks great. And then I pick one or two of them up and I try them, and I realized I have zero clue how to play games like this. And then I get frustrated and I'm like, oh, I suck at this so bad, I'm done. That's how I feel when we play Ark. Like, it's fun,
really?
It's beautiful, but I get in there and I'm like, what should I do now? What, you know, I need something.
I think now you should be, I think you should become a DJ.
Yeah. DJ? Well, I could. I'm better at that than playing Ark.
Oh, well, yeah, hopefully.
Well, there's a new pocket DJ controller by Newmark that's out.
Wait, a pocket DJ?
Yep.
Wait.
it's a DJ in your pocket?
Are you happy to see me, or is that a DJ in your pocket?
Hey, I don't know.
My bad.
Now,
that's not the only scratching.
No.
Now the funny thing about this, the funny thing about this is, out of the three of us, I am the most non-musical person here.
Yeah.
Both of you guys have been in bands your whole life. You play multiple instruments. You sing beautifully.
I don't know about that.
And I don't do any of that. But I actually came across, it was an ad on something. I was at some site. It had an ad over on the side. I was probably looking at, you know, stuff for the podcast, you know, trying to, you know, learn stuff. And it was probably one of the things on the side. So I clicked on it just to see what it was. And it's actually a really cool little thing for DJs. I mean, like, if I know, Adam, you've done so many weddings, right? DJing weddings and stuff.
Yeah, there was that zero time.
Yeah, I know one person there that does this that I hope he's listening is, remember we got the question from John the Mailman last week?
Was that last week? Okay, he does some DJing?
He does some DJing on the side. So I hope he's listening and he checks this out.
Well, what this is, like Adam had said, it's the from a company called Newmark, and it's called the DJ 2Go 2. So I'm assuming there was a DJ 2Go 1, or just a DJ 2Go, probably the first one was called. But what they say is it's the smallest full-featured DJ controller on the market. And what this does is it actually, it depends on what type of laptop you have. I know some of them are getting so thin and stuff and they don't have much, you know, bezel room around like the keyboards and stuff. But if you have a fairly good size area down at the bottom of your keyboard, you can put this right on top of it. It'll just span the entire top of your
right over laptop. Like where your touchpad is usually.
Yeah, yeah, where the touchpad would go. And then you hook it up, you know, through your 1/8, you know, ports and stuff on there. And you can hook headphones or speakers directly up to this, but it comes with software and it lets you do all your DJing stuff that you see, you know, all these professionals do on a smaller scale for, I believe this is under 100 bones, isn't it? I'd have to go look at it again, but I thought it was about 100 bones or a little bit under. So, you know, for somebody that's just getting into DJing and stuff, for, you know, doing a little bit of stuff on the side, it seems like it's a decent little machine. And you know, I love tech. So I watched the demo of this with all the lights flashing on it and stuff. I thought it looked pretty cool.
That is cool. When I was in the 7th grade, I DJed a couple of dances for the junior high.
Nice.
Oh, so, you'd love this thing.
A lot of experience. And it, you know, the real beauty of some of this DJ gear is it lets you fade in and mix songs and change the speeds and tempos. Yeah. So that way you can merge one song into the next one.
Yeah.
You know. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, I just thought it was something... this could have been like a garnish here. It was just a little story I saw.
It kind of is. So
I thought it was kind
of
cool.
Retroactively part of the weekly garnish.
Right. Now, sweet!
Jason, you've got one other thing to add to the weekly garnish today.
Yes. I have been playing a game for the last few weeks, and I love it. It's called the Game of Thrones, and it's about these brother and sister... No, never mind. No, it is called The Last Day on Earth Survival. Now, this just popped up. If you know, those of you who you know, partake in gaming on your mobile device, be it a phone or a tablet, and my gaming of choice is done on an Asus ZenPad 10.1-inch tablet. So, you know, once in a while I go on over to the Play Store, and you know how they have like the noteworthy games or the newest games or the most popular games. Well, this popped up on there. It's a free-to-play. You know, it has in-app purchases and stuff, but I don't like to do that, but I like to play the games the way they're meant to be played. And I downloaded it because I'd watched the little clip they had of it, and I'm like, wow, that looks kind of interesting. And I downloaded it, and I'm playing it, and this is how I described it to these two gentlemen that are doing the podcast with me. It plays a lot like Ark Survival Evolved, but instead of dinosaurs, let's swap that out with zombies. How much better can you get? You really can't.
That's pretty cool.
it's not a first-person perspective like, you know, Ark is. It's kind of like a 3D isometric. What's the terminology there? ISO something, visual,
no idea.
The way it works. But you do all the same stuff you do in Ark. You're dropped into this world. You have nothing, no clothes on your back, nothing. You're running around, you're picking up twigs off of the ground, stones, and you're getting fiber out of plants. What does this sound like, guys? Sounds like Ark.
Sounds like
then
I'm
you
so
can
excited to try it.
Yeah. Then you can start to make some tools. So, you know, you get like 3 pieces of wood, 3 stones, and you can make a hatchet. Now you can chop down the trees and get more wood. And you build your structures just like you do in Ark. You lay out the floors. You put in the walls. You can have solid walls, walls with windows. You put in your doors. And then you start making crafting stations. I got, you know, a smelter. I got, you know, a woodworking, stoneworking. Yeah.
What did you smell like?
I like that just reminded me of that joke. Wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
You know, this kind of reminds me, just looking at the screenshots, reminds me a little bit of Fallout. Fallout 4. There's got the little machine gun turrets, auto sensing, and the different stations. That looks pretty cool. I'm going to give this a try, too.
And you got to do everything here, too. Like just like in Ark, you have to eat and you have to drink. Sure. Well, you have to get up to like level 5 before you can actually drink. So you're going to die for a while if you don't find drink just out in the wild, you know, like a can of something here. You know, when you kill stuff, they drop stuff. But I think it was about a level 5, you make a rain catcher. And then any empty bottles, you can go and fill them up in the rain catcher. You get, you know, meat off of wolves. Also, their pelt, and you can turn that into leather or some type of, you know, leathery type thing that you can make more clothing out of. You make weapons. You can even have guns and stuff. You know, you find, like, guns off of... Sure. You know, different zombies. Now you're playing against other people too. Now this is an MMO, RPG strategy type game.
Okay, I thought. And it was there are other standalone.
People. Yeah, the other people are playing it too, so you have to be careful, because you don't. You can form groups and stuff, but just like the description says, it's basically everybody out, you know, for themselves. You're gonna have people coming up and trying to kill you all the time. Because they get all your stuff in your backpack.
Sure.
So they're going to, why go out and hunt for it when you can just go kill somebody and get all their stuff that has already done all the work?
So what's the name of the game again?
It's called Last Day on Earth Survival. It is in the Android store. That's what I'm playing it on. I am not 100% sure if it's available on iOS or not. The first thing I did check to see if it was available for Windows 10, because I would love to play it with a mouse, but sadly it's not. But I think I hear Adam Googling, so maybe he'll be able to let us know if it is available for iOS or not.
It is available on iOS from what I can see.
Sweet. Yes. So yep. Definitely check this game out. It's a lot of fun, and you know, it's basically giving me a little bit of Ark, but on the tablet. So, you know, when I'm having my daily constitutional, I can play a game.
Yeah, that's good to know. So let's go back to the today's riddle.
Yeah, so Dave. You guys got this really easily, and I'm bummed. at least you think you did.
Last week you got me. I didn't even guess last week.
If you didn't bring photography to our podcast, it might not have been quite as easy.
Yeah, I might have to stop bringing photography, I think, just so I can tell better riddles. But the riddle is...
So go ahead and read it
up. A woman shoots her husband, then holds him underwater for 5 minutes. Finally, she hangs him. 5 minutes later, they enjoy a wonderful dinner together. How can this be?
Her name's Lorena Bobbitt.
No.
Ah, oh, dang.
There was nothing about chopping, slicing, or dicing.
Oh.
Dicing. Oh, that's even cruel. I mean, cutting it off is bad enough, but then she starts dicing it into little pieces.
Stop.
Attach that now, sucker.
So clearly she took a photo of him, took him to the dark room and hung it up.
The old dark room.
I took him to the dark room and hung it up.
I thought maybe I'd get you guys because, you know, no one shoots film anymore very much, but I still do. I've actually had a little bit of stuff going on with film lately that we'll talk about as we get a little closer to September. I've got some stuff going on, but what do you guys
Sounds
think?
Good.
Do you want me to find another riddle to leave open for the week?
Or if you want to, if you can find it really fast, I don't want to wait like an hour and then you get it.
I'm going to go right over to digitalsouppodcast.com, just like all of our listeners can, and we're going to see what comes up on there, unless one of you guys happens to have the site up already.
I don't, but I do have to say digitalsouppodcast.com is a beautiful site. I love it.
Nothing's coming up for me for some reason.
All right. Well, can I read this one then? Until I am measured, I am not known. Yet how you miss me when I've flown. Until I am measured, I am not known. Yet how you miss me when I have flown. I'll add that to our show notes as well. And we'll, or did you guys want to answer it already?
No, I know the answer.
No.
Let's hold on to that. Add that to the show notes. I'm gonna pull mine out of the show notes since we already answered it, so you can add yours for the week. So again, guys, if you have guesses, go ahead and send them in. If you want, easiest way to do that is digitalsouppodcast.com and hit that contact form, and that'll send an email right to Jason. Of course, as you already heard from Captain Poland at the start of the show, we'd love it if you send in your guess at the riddle via an audio submission. Very simple to do right on your phone and just email that file over, but any way you can get it in, send it in to us. So, Adam, why don't you wrap us out of here?
Yes. Well, as always, you guys can find all of our information on digitalsouppodcast.com, where we have links for you to subscribe or to check us out on social media. Please go like us on Facebook. Please leave us a comment, and please rate us and subscribe on iTunes. We're always open to listener questions or comments, so whether you hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or if you have a question you want to record in audio and send to jason@digitalsouppodcast.com, we would love to hear from you. So, from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you out there in the entire world listening, have a great week, and we will catch you next time.
Later, guys.
Later, Gators.
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons.